Well, joining us now, the senior Congress leader, also one of the finest lawyers in the country, Dr. Abhishek Manu Singhvi. Thanks so very much for being with us. Now, the government says, the BJP says, the laws were changed to ensure speedier justice and be in sync with, you know, this day and age and a new focus on different forms of crime that occur. Do you believe that in some respects that's correct? Speedier justice?
Just the opposite, I'm sorry to say, Shom. It's a case of retrograde steps. It's a case of cosmetic and superficial surgery to satisfy vanity. It's a case of missed opportunity in terms of genuine substantive amendment which could have been done, not done. And it is a case of actually increasing arrears in the country. Let me tell you in one sentence what each one of them. Before that, let me start with a slightly amusing anecdote. This is one particular area where I was amused to see your previous show of the Home Minister. I was the lead speaker on these bills and I was aborted because that was the day when I was to open the speech when these 142 suspensions were there. So I don't know what they're talking about. Where was the discussion? A substantial chunk of the opposition was missing.
Yeah, 25% was present, yes.
Redebated. It should be redebated actually. But that apart, let me give you immediately the examples of the phrases I used. Arrears, delay, speed. You know, they have not thought of this. There were 150 years of the old law. Now, actually, 80%, even 85% of the old law remains as it is. Substantive changes are 10 to 15%. But what they've done is they've tinkered with a lot of provisions by a comma, full stop here, a word there, just to show that they are changing. Now, the result of it they don't realize is that 150 years of jurisprudence, namely Supreme Court and High Court judgments on the old provisions, settled the law, froze the law, decided the law, made it crystal clear for all lower courts to follow in criminal trials. Now, with the change, either the prosecution or the defense, more often than not, the defense which wants to play over clever, will argue that entire 150 years of jurisprudence is gone. It is superseded by the new law, although the change is cosmetic. You, the judge, please re-decide the matter, de novo, reinvent the wheel. He can't simply say matter is covered by so-and-so judgment, I'll follow that. Ultimately, the judge will get the same result, but he'll have to do it through a long...
All right, through a new prism.
And therefore, but Dr. Singhvi, you have arrears in this country of 50 million, of which 40 million plus 42 million plus is in the lower courts, which is criminal matters, increasing, not decreasing.
Dr. Singhvi, just on the point of speed, which is what my first question was, what the government says is that judgments are now required within 45 days of completion of a trial and charges are framed within 60 days of the first hearing. Is this not an example, for example, a pace in the legal system, something that's sorely missing?
The first one is a laughable point, isn't it? What is the first point you just said?
45 days of completion of trial.
No. 45 days of not completion of
judgments
trial.
Are now required within 45 days of completion of trial.
Suppose the trial never gets completed for 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 years. What's the point of this provision? It is nothing but trying to fool you, to create a chimera. The problem is the trial doesn't get completed, not the judgment. The poor fellow will write the judgment, the trial is completed, sir. The trigger for the 45 days to run today is after 10 years. Have you not heard of criminal convictions?
But that is assuming that the judgment actually comes after several years. In the case of cases where a judgment comes faster, the order will come in a faster period of time.
That's a minuscule category. That's an irrelevant category. The category which is of relevance to the nation and society is the completion of the trial. There are very few cases where trial having been completed, judgments don't come. That is totally, is not even a figure worth mentioning. This is fooling you. Second, what about the fact that you have renamed, changed cosmetically 90, 80, 85% of the provisions? No change. And let me tell you the retrograde ones. There is a provision called sexual intercourse with deceitful means.
Yeah, I know. But you can be jailed for 10 years.
10 years is a very harsh punishment. It is nothing but your own party agenda for so-called love jihad. The number of which is infinitesimal. Today, marital rape is not an offense. Rape by deceit is anyway an offense. What is the point of creating this offense in 10 years? To further your agenda for marital rape where you are actually abusing the... to further your agenda for love jihad where you are already abusing it. Take two other very weird provisions. A mini code, new code of anti-terrorism, similar but a more benevolent version of the existing UAPA has been put in the code. Now, you're a police officer, you will decide subjectively whether you go under the federal existing UAPA or under this new anti-terrorism code. You don't like me, you'll go under that. You want to help me, you go under this.
Right.
And this confusion, who will sort out? It's virtually the same model, but with a slightly watered down version.
Okay, Dr.
Same thing for Makoka, organized crime.
Yeah.
You know, Makoka and Kokoka are there. They made a similar code within this bill. I don't understand the logic of all this. And one more sentence, so I'm very sorry. It's very, very, very important. Sedition. That's the worst. It's a betrayal of the faith. It's backstabbing you. The Attorney General makes a statement that we will reconsider. It's a record of the Supreme Court order. 1.5 years is kept in abeyance. Reconsideration.
So the word sedition has been replaced by treason effectively, right?
No, exactly. No, no, just bear with me. Bear with me. I use the phrase betrayal of the faith, backstabbing. Reconsideration, except in Alice in Wonderland, means we'll repeal it. We dilute it. But this Alice in Wonderland comes back with a more enhanced provision and tells the Supreme Court, which kept it in abeyance for 1.5 years, that we are reconsidering it. This is ridiculous.
Okay. Let me ask you my next question. The new laws will allow any person to file a zero FIR at any police station, regardless of jurisdiction. It'll permit online registration of police complaints and electronic serving of summons. Again, is this not a good thing?
It's good. It's a use of technology. It's minor, for which you can't say that you are changing the face of colonial law and making a new law.
No, no. Dr. Singhvi, this is something that all of us have been impacted with. If you have a small legal issue,
technology is there everywhere.
Tell you, please go elsewhere. It's not my jurisdiction. Imagine the benefits for countless people on a daily basis.
Let me tell you one more laudable provision in this law. There are some few laudable things. Community service. Very laudable. I support it.
Yes.
But if you have a few islands, look at what you could have done. If you really wanted to reform law and not just rename Macaulay with a Bharatiya Sanhita, then you should have first and foremost created, which is the heart of the rotten system of our criminal justice, a Chinese wall between investigation and prosecution. Today, the same officer, Som, gets up in the morning, he goes and does investigation in the field, he gets tired, then he goes and spends 3 hours in a court doing the prosecution. Then he goes, same, there's no Chinese wall, separate Department of Public Prosecution and a separate investigation wing. That is what the reform had to do.
Okay.
There is nothing done for increasing significantly the list of compoundable offenses, which is truly reformatory and not penal, although community policing is a good one there. So the point is, there are a few cosmetic things. A few tilting at windmills, like the example you gave of judgments not delivered after 45 days. It's a non-quantitative issue. And mostly nothing but saying that I have made my new central vista on the criminal laws of this country.
All right.
I
find myself as at a complete disadvantage in having this conversation with you. But there should have been, and we've got Mahesh Jethwalani up next, but he's not together on this panel. So let me just ask the questions, which I presume that the BJP or somebody who believes in
Absolutely.
So the next question, they make the new laws make videography of crime scenes mandatory for all heinous crimes. And summons can be served electronically. This expedites the legal process. You may call it small, but it's in fact quite significant.
No. Shom. These are all procedural innovations with technology which happened in our civil procedure code decades ago. They were left out in our criminal and they've done it rightly. Nobody's objected to it. But please see them for what they are. They are inconsequential, quantitatively of zero effect. They don't speed up the trial, which is constantly being said. They assist in procedural things being ironed out. What speeds up a trial is the things I have told you. A distinction, you know, every case you read in the paper every day, Shom, doesn't it say the police castigated shoddy investigation and then acquitted Shom? Don't you read that every day? That's because you have not created efficient systems, and that is why our conviction rate remains abysmal and the time taken remains huge. Neither of those two things are going to change by videography. Neither of those two things is going to change by 45 days limit.
So one final question. New provisions.
Who's the public?
Okay. One final question. The government says that new provisions have been made in view of emerging crimes like gang rapes, killing by mobs, false promise of marriage, etc. And this will increase the demand for forensic experts, but they are trying to work to cater to that increased demand. So is there anything substantial when it comes to emerging crimes like gang rapes?
Let me unravel the composite question you've asked. Love jihad, I've already discussed with you. It's a retrograde provision. Deceitful means 10 years, very harsh. And it is nothing but allowing a further license for abuse already happening in an infinitesimal, non-consequential, quantitative number of cases. I completely oppose it. The other things you said are what? Take, for example, mob lynching. The problem in mob lynching is it is a amendment to the law will not make any difference. Suppose you have not changed the law, it's already murder, it's already covered. The problem with these things is that when the party in power gives a signal, a message that mob lynching is all right, the police goes slow in the prosecution. You don't need a law for this. Murder is already a crime. It's good if you made mob lynching an additional provision, no problem. But what you need is to send a clear message that when mobs catch you as innocent traders going around just because your religion is different and lynch you with the nearest tree, that will not be a signal for police that, no, this is all right in this country. It is that message in particular states which has to be cured, not the passing of a section calling mob lynching, which is anyway murder already covered. That's the truth behind these things.
Sure. All right, Dr. Singhvi, thanks very much for joining us.